You know, why do people do what they do? Learn your style of leadership and how to adjust your style of leadership to fit to the situation at hand, et cetera, et cetera. That's not leadership. That's management. All leaders have one thing and one thing only. Followers. That's it. That's it. If you're a leader, it means you have followers. It has nothing to do with rank. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with seniority. If people are willing to follow you, you are a leader. A leader is when someone says, I volunteer to go where you're going. And the question is, why should anyone follow you? There's only two ways to influence human behavior. You can either manipulate people or you can inspire people. Examples of manipulation in the business world are things like dropping your price. If you drop your price low enough, people will buy from you. There are all kinds of other manipulations. Fear, wonderful manipulator. And the best part is, companies complain about now, what's their biggest challenge? How do we differentiate ourselves? The problem is, none of them breed loyalty. The problem is, none of them create trust. You can scare people into doing all sorts of things. Aspirational messages. We're constantly being told you have to be aspirational. Give people something to aspire to. You know, you can get people to join the gym with an aspirational message, but to get them to work out 3 days a week, that requires a little bit of inspiration. It is stressful for us to make decisions today. In a world in which manipulation is the norm, where we are bombarded by manipulations from all sides, from all people, trying to get us to do any number of things, whether it's vote for them or buy from them or do something, the question is, how do we choose? What's right for us? It's called stress. We literally have trouble choosing these days. But it's stressful for the sellers as well. In a marketplace where manipulation is the norm, how do we stand out? How do we get heard? How do we find people to follow us? The alternative is inspiration. And there are only a few people and a few organizations that tend to rely vastly more on inspiration than manipulation. It's like Apple Computers or Southwest Airlines or Martin Luther King. And you see it not only in organizations, but great leaders as well, like Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy or Nelson Mandela. Every single one of these leaders, every single one of these organizations thinks, acts, and communicates the exact same way, and it's the complete opposite to everyone else. And it's probably the world's simplest idea. The golden circle, and it's three concentric circles, a bullseye. In the middle is why, the center ring is how, and the outside ring is what. Why, how, what? It's this little idea that distinguishes those with the capacity to inspire versus everyone else. Every single organization on the planet knows what they do. These are the products you sell, the services you offer. Everyone here knows what they do. Some know how they do it. Whether you call it your differentiating value proposition, your USP, your proprietary process, these are the things that you think make you different or special or stand out from the competition, from everyone else. But very, very few people, very, very few organizations can clearly articulate why they do what they do. And by why, I don't mean to make money, that's a result. By why, I mean what's your purpose, what's your cause, what's your belief? Why does your organization exist? Do we really need another company to do what you're doing? Do we really need another one? Why did you get out of bed this morning? And why should anyone care? As a result, the way we think, the way we act, the way we communicate is from the outside in. It's obvious. We go from the clearest thing to the fuzziest thing. We tell people what we do. We tell them how we're different or how we're better or how we're special. And we expect some sort of behavior, a vote, a purchase, support, whatever it is. But not those leaders with the capacity to inspire. Regardless of their size, regardless of their industry, every single one of them thinks, acts, and communicates from the inside out. Let me give you an example. If Apple were like everyone else, a piece of communication would sound like this. We make great computers. They're beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. Want to buy one? Meh. That's normal. Here's our new car. It's got, you know, great gas mileage, leather seats, tinted windows. Here's our law firm. We went to all the best schools. We've got all the best lawyers. We win all of our cases. We work with all of the biggest firms. That's normal. Here's how Apple actually communicates. They start with why. Everything we do, they say, we believe in challenging the status quo. We believe in thinking differently. The way we challenge the status quo is by making our products beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. We just happen to make great computers. Want to buy one? It actually feels different. All I did was reverse the order of the information. What it starts to show us is that it's not what you do that matters, it's why you do it. And what you do simply serves as the tangible proof of what you believe. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. This is the reason why every single person is perfectly comfortable with the idea that Apple sells computers. We're also perfectly comfortable with the idea that Apple sells MP3 players and phones and DVRs. Apple is just a company, that's all they are. It's a corporate structure. Every single one of their competitors has equal and open access to the same resources, the same agencies, the same consultants, the same talent, the same media. It is a zero-sum game. The difference is, all of their competitors have defined themselves by what they do. We make computers. Apple has defined themselves by why they exist. Everything they say and everything they do simply serves as proof. It's not what you do that matters, it's why you do it. And people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. We have to have three things. One, you have to know why you do what you do. If you don't know why you do what you do, how will anyone else? You have to have clarity of why. Two, you have to have discipline of how. You have to hold yourself and your people accountable to your own guiding principles and your own values. And thirdly, you have to have consistency of what? Everything you say and everything you do has to prove what you believe. This is the concept behind authenticity. People are always telling us you have to be authentic. People prefer to buy from the authentic brand. They prefer to vote for the authentic candidate. What does that mean? How do you implement authenticity? What authenticity means is the things you say and the things you do, you actually believe. This is caveman stuff. The reason the human race is so successful is not because we're the strongest, it's not even because we're the smartest. It's because we're social animals. It's because we have the ability to form communities and cultures. What's a community? What's a culture? It's a group of people with a common set of values and beliefs. What's a country? It's a group of people with a common set of values and beliefs. What's a company? It should be a group of people with a common set of values and beliefs. When we're surrounded by people who believe what we believe, something remarkable happens. Trust emerges. Make no mistake of it, trust is a feeling. Trust is a human experience. Simply doing everything you say you're going to do does not mean people will trust you. It just means you're reliable. Trust is a feeling born out of a common set of values and beliefs, and our very survival depends on our ability to find those people so that we can form trust. When we trust them and they trust us, we're more willing, we're more likely to take risk, to explore, to experiment, which requires failure, by the way, all with the confidence that if we turn our back or fall over or make a mistake, that someone from within our community will come to our aid or watch our back or help us up. Absent trust, we still have the will to survive. The difference is, it's every man for himself. Absent trust, you know, we all try and push each other out of the way because we gotta win, we gotta compete, we gotta live, we gotta survive. The difference is in great organizations, in great cultures, and in great communities, when there is stress, the organization comes together to solve the problem. Absent trust, we back off and the thing collapses. The most basic human desire on the planet is to feel like we belong. Again, we are social animals and we all have the innate ability to do this. If I ask you to go out in the street and find all the people who believe what you believe, you know exactly what to do. You're going to strike up a conversation with someone. You'll either have good chemistry with them or you won't. You'll either get along with them quickly or it'll take some time. The point is, you know how to do it. Our survival depends on it. It's called dating. It's called making friends. It's called networking. We know how to do it. The problem is, it's not scalable. But if you know the symbols to look for, it becomes much easier. Easy to spot because you know what to look for. This is what we do when we look for certain symbols and certain, so we read things about each other. Every single decision we make in our lives, as individuals or as organizations, is a piece of communication. It's our way of saying something about who we are and what we believe in an attempt to track people so that they may form trust with us and we may form trust with them. Everything you say and everything you do has to prove what you believe. The most basic human desire on the planet is to feel like we belong. And we have the innate ability to find those things and to sense that. This is the reason why this could not be recreated over our computers. It's because as human beings, it's our biology that gives us this ability. It's this ability to read each other. Nothing I'm telling you is my opinion. It's actually grounded in the tenets of biology. If you look at a cross-section of the human brain looking from the top down, you see that the human brain evolved into three major areas that corresponds precisely with this little idea. The outside area is our neocortex, our Homo sapien brain, responsible for all of our rational and analytical thought and language. The middle two sections make up our limbic brains, and our limbic brains are responsible for all of our feelings, like trust and loyalty. It's also responsible for all human behavior, all decision-making, and it has no capacity for language. This is the reason you can't ask people, why do you do business with us? Why do you like us? They can't tell you. The part of the brain that controls behavior doesn't control language, and so they rationalize. This is the reason why the question, why do you love your husband or why do you love your wife, is a difficult question. Why do you love your wife? I don't know. That's where most people start. And then they start saying things, they start rationalizing. She's fun. I've known her forever. She's always there for me when I need her. It sounds like the household pet. And those aren't necessarily the qualities for marriage. I mean, it is a human experience that we have trouble putting into words. And so we try. We rationalize and then we say things that don't make sense. What we're attempting to do is put into words the feelings we have towards another person or organization with the part of the brain that doesn't control language. And so we rationalize or make things up. We do the exact same thing at work. We talk about people who get it. And that guy, no matter how much data I show him, no matter how much information I give him, he just doesn't get it. What's it? How do we find people who get it before we do business with them to realize they don't get it? What we're attempting to do is put into words the feelings we have towards other people, this common set of values and beliefs, with the part of the brain that doesn't control language. This sense of belonging and the sense of community is so powerful.